Hi everyone, my name is Andra Stanoyou and you're listening to the Healthy Debate Show here on UK Health Radio, the real feel-good radio. In a world of emotions, it is a challenge to let mistakes lead to growth instead of shame. Meta-spirituality is presented to us as a call to kindness, listening, vulnerability, compassion and gratitude. Nina Verkoyen is the author of 5 books and a dozen methods of mind and body transformation. She also holds a degree in psychology, and today she will explain to us the facets of meta-spirituality. Hi, Nina. Welcome to the Healthy Debate Show.
Hi, Andra. So happy to be here. Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure to invite you, especially because my knowledge on meta-spirituality is very limited, and I'm very excited about understanding this concept. But before we get there, I would like us to have a conversation around your background, what you're passionate about, around meta-spirituality, and anything that you think our listeners would like to know about you.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I would say that as every spiritual seeker out there, I've been through all the different teachings, spiritual studies, meditations, practices. I tried it all, you know, all those mainstream and easily available methods for mind and body transformation. And I was not fulfilled. I couldn't find the answers that I was looking for. I couldn't find that satisfaction for my deeper calling. And I really struggled, just like many students of mine who come to me and say, Nina, we read so many books on spirituality, we've been following all those teachers, and still, regardless of the amount of spiritual knowledge we gain, regardless of the amount of time we spend on our yoga mats or in meditation, our life is still the same. We still have conflicts with our loved ones. We still have financial problems. So we don't seem to be able to connect spirituality and material life. Like how to have spirituality and our spiritual aspirations to affect positively our daily material life. Not to run away from reality, from material life into spirituality, but to actually bring that positive understanding, I would say, into daily life. And that was the biggest issue for me personally for many years. My head was so big from all the knowledge, from all the books I've read, from all the courses I've taken, from all the teachings I've gone through and retreats and you name it. I knew a lot, but still my life was the same. And I know this is also the biggest problem for many, many spiritual seekers. And this is when and where meta-spirituality comes into play. So in 2016, I had a spontaneous, very profound, I'd say life-changing, I still call it my second birth, and it's truly a day that changed my life to before and after. And that's when I spontaneously received, I call it the truth, the last truth, the truth of who we are, how everything in this world is connected and how everything works, how to join every aspect of life in one holistic picture that makes sense. And this is why it's also called meta-spirituality. All the knowledge that I gained that day, it was truly a crazy experience, I should confess. I've been sitting in my room. I've been trying to write down all the answers that suddenly poured down onto me. I didn't have any questions anymore. They were just answers. The knowledge just appeared, you know, the truth of everything. I didn't even have to ask questions or what does that mean or what is this through the lens of this new understanding. I just knew everything, the whole universe was inside of me, and I was trying to write down, kind of put it in words and anchor this knowledge onto the paper. And this is how meta-spirituality was born, why I called it meta-spirituality, because from the Greek, it means beyond. Meta means beyond. And this is truly beyond the mainstream spirituality that we're all seeing out there, right? This is beyond the perception we're used to applying to our daily life. So this is truly something that is beyond everything. This is how this knowledge came to me. This is where the name came from. And I don't know, Andra, does it make sense what I'm telling you here?
It does, and I've made some notes because I do have some questions. So you said at some point, right at the beginning, when you were describing the situation that you were in initially, you mentioned that you had a series of questions, and you said that, you know, it might be that some of the ones that are listening today, they might have similar things, similar questions that they're asking themselves. Tell me a bit more about that. What were some of those existential questions that you were asking yourself and you found it hard to find answers outside meta-spirituality?
Yeah, you know, it's those questions like, who am I? Why am I here? What is my calling? Why don't I know my calling from the beginning? Why is it so difficult to figure it out? Why don't we have a manual when we arrive to this world? Why everything is so difficult? Why this world is so difficult? Why it's so difficult to create positive, meaningful, conflictless relationships? Why do we struggle in love so much? Why love is equivalent to struggle for the majority of people in this world, right? Why do we struggle with money that much? Why is it so difficult to have abundance? Why is it so difficult to deal with our own emotions? Why do we feel what we feel? Why do we still struggle with the same emotions that like our cave ancestors were struggling with, like anger, envy? We progressed so much as humanity, but we still struggle on a daily basis with the same emotions and difficulties as we did 10,000 years ago. So we still experience deep anger, deep hatred, envy, sorrow, depression. In fact, the rate of depression is spiking with each year, with each decade in the world. So we don't seem to know the answers, how to handle life. And there are two types of people. The first type lives more on autopilot, and they rarely ask themselves these questions. They kind of live being concerned with daily questions like, what to do today? How do I do this? How do I do that? Like today, they're not existential questions, right? There's another type of people, and those are the people that I call spiritual seekers. They do ask themselves those questions, and they really want to find the answers, and they can't, because our world is full of different and even contradicting teachings, religions that divide, different gods that like basically even fight with each other, symbolically speaking, right? They divide people into religions, nationalities, and so on. So we don't have one whole understanding of things, of the world, of ourselves, which would unite us as human beings and bring peace to us, to our mind. So meta-spirituality, its main purpose is to undo all the religious and mainstream spirituality's damage that was done to us generation over generation. And we can go deeper into that, but truly religions and mainstream spirituality, regardless of the amount of certain so-called benefits that they could give a human being and some consolation that they can bring, it's still, especially nowadays, more damaging than it is helpful. So meta-spirituality is something that aims to unite people instead of dividing them, that aims to not separate people based on their religions, nationalities, and so on. It gives one holistic understanding, this truth of who we truly are and how everything works, regardless of where you were born, and so on.
I'm also thinking about that day you mentioned. You said that there was a special day, the day where you felt like the knowledge was there. You didn't even have the questions, but you did have all the answers. Mm-hmm. I'm very curious about that particular day, and I'm going to ask you more questions around that. But first of all, I would like to understand, how do you think this has happened? You know, what generated that flow of knowledge? Was there a particular setting? Was there some precognitions? Was there any specific context, for example, in your private personal life? Like, how did that happen? Because we might have people who are listening now thinking that, okay, how do I have this aha moment, this moment where, you know, I'm flooded with knowledge and understanding? Because, you know, you're not the only one who has gone these traditional paths, is it? So a lot of us have tried different things. So what do you think favored that day?
I believe there's three parts to it. I'm gonna break it down for
you. It's always complicated, Nina, with you, isn't it? It's never straightforward.
Well, it's deep, and that's why it takes a little bit of time to structure it in a way that people will understand. So I would say there's three parts. Of course, it's symbolically speaking, but still. So the first part is that I was so done with what was available to me, all those techniques, meditations, visualizations, mantras, you name it. I was so done with all the traditional and non-traditional techniques and methods for mind and body transformation that were available, because they didn't bring me the results. They would give me partial results, but then if I was truly honest with myself, I didn't really see a big change in my life. So I was dissatisfied with what is, and I kind of abandoned the search. I quit searching. So I just stopped looking on the outside. I got so disappointed. I realized there's nothing and nobody out there that actually knows and can help me. And why I think it is helpful, or was helpful for me and will be helpful for anybody on the same path, is because when we lose hope that there is somebody out there who can give us answers, then we inevitably turn within, and this is where all the answers are. But we are so preoccupied and so used to listening to the outer authorities, gurus, teachers, books, seminars, workshops. And I'm not saying that this is not helpful in some way, but what I'm saying is that we can get caught up in this, in this eternal student scenario. That we never graduate from being a student of life to being the creator of life. So we stay students, and we never find this teacher within. We never find our own, self-authority and all the answers that come from this inner well of ours. So this is the first part. I was very disappointed in everyone and everything, and I abandoned my search. I stopped looking out on the outside, and I kind of turned within. So I emptied my glass. You know this saying, in order to get something, some knowledge, your glass needs to be not full. Your head cannot be full with all the other concepts. So I emptied myself through this kind of disappointment that I experienced. So that was the first part. Second part was the intention, the intensity of my desire to know the truth. My intention was still there. I really wanted to know it. You'll be surprised how many spiritual seekers and people in the world, they think that they want to know the truth, to get enlightened, to understand who they truly are. But in fact, what they want is not that. They want the benefits that they believe come with that. For example, many people who search for enlightenment might have some subconscious belief that, oh, if I'm enlightened, I will never feel any negative emotion, and this is how I want to live, like in a positive bubble. Or if I get enlightened, I will become powerful, or I will be special, I will be not like anybody else, I will be different. And this is what drives their search. And definitely, there's part of that in every one of us. We are all human beings. But what I'm trying to say here is that if our intention is not strong and pure enough, the truth will not be revealed, because this is not actually our true intention. We need to come to this place where we want to know the truth for the sake of the truth, at any cost, basically. Not because if we are enlightened, special, we will suddenly have a lot of money, we will suddenly have all that relationships that we were dreaming about. No, we want to know the truth because we feel we have a right and we need to know the truth of who we are and how everything works. So that's the second part. I feel it's very important. The intention, the desire to know, the intensity of it is very important. You hearing me, Andra?
I just want to make sure. Perfectly fine. Yeah, I'm taking notes because I'm adding some more questions in that.
And the third part of it, the final part, and which actually instigated the process to me that day, it was on the 10th of March in 2016. I'm just going to tell you how it was. I was sitting on my bed. I wasn't sleeping yet. I was just about to go to bed. I was alone in the house. I wasn't meditating. I wasn't doing anything. I didn't use any substances, of course. Nothing truly in terms of preparation. But I got into this deep thought process, and I remember asking myself super intensely, like with this huge like urge to know what love is. What is love? I asked myself that day and that moment. What is it? Is it an instinct? What is this? And it doesn't even matter why this question came to my mind, whether it's some relationship that I was going through or whether it's just a philosophical idea. But I asked myself this question, what is love? And I wanted to know the answer. I looked so deep into myself with such intensity that suddenly, after I asked myself this question, kind of asking within, something snapped, something flipped. I don't know how to explain it, but what actually happened, now I can explain it looking back. What happened is that the answer to what love is got revealed to me, but not in the format of words, love is this and that, but in a form of inner feeling. I became love. Love is what we truly are. This is who we are in truth. This is what our true nature is. And love is also synonym to God, to the universe, to you name it, they're all synonyms. This is the highest vibration that's available in this whole universe. Love is God. God is love. And I know these words, this phrase will sound too abstract and will not mean anything to people if they didn't experience it from the inside, but to explain to you what instigated the process that day, that's the answer. I asked this question, what is love? And I received the answer that love is who we truly are. And this is also the source, the creator. This is who we truly are. This is our state, inner state of being. This is our nature. From that moment when everything shifted and I became love, I became God, I became the universe, just like everybody else around, I suddenly could see everything holistically at once. I could see how everything is connected. The whole universe was within me, and all the answers, they were present there too. There were no questions, they were just answers. In that state of being, when you know who you truly are, you don't have questions. Everything is clear, because what enlightenment truly is, it's the highest state of clarity. When you don't have subconscious mind, you don't have blind spots in your mind, there's nothing that you are unaware of in your own psyche and also in the outer world, because what's inside is outside. It's all the same. We are the universe. When we get into this connection with who we truly are, when we become one with everything, we also know everything. The fact that we have any questions is just a symptom of our disconnection and separateness from the source of who we truly are. When our mind is cleared, enlightened, like cleared, we have clarity, total clarity. All the questions, they just disappear, and we clearly see everything as is, and there's no questions, there's just answers.
Nina, thank you so much for taking the time to explain this in such detail and for sharing your private experience, because it sounded very personal, and I think it's important for anyone that's listening to understand that, you know, probably that's just my assumption, but probably the most powerful moments, they are the ones that you know, we're spending with our mind and with our emotional side, rather than you know, surrounded by a lot of details that most of the times don't matter. So simple things like this, you know, you're sitting down on your bed and, you know, you're asking yourself simple or complicated questions, depends. I think it's both simple and complicated at the same time, can be a moment that actually switches things in your life and makes you feel completely different and have a different perspective on things. So again, thank you very much for sharing this with us. I would like us to take a few minutes to listen to this commercial messages, and once we're back, I'm very interested in understanding from you, for example, what isn't meta-spirituality, for example, or is it a science? Is it something that has basic principles? How can we start applying meta-spirituality in our day-to-day life? So let's take a few minutes of break, and we'll come back with Nina to discuss about meta-spirituality.
The station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip, because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And we're back with discussing meta-spirituality today. Very interesting topic, and Nina is the expert we have on the Healthy Debate Show today. Nina was explaining to us what is meta-spirituality, and she very kindly shared some private experiences when she accessed this type of knowledge. And Nina, I would like us to, or like you actually, because you're the expert, isn't it? I would like you to explain to us if meta-spirituality can be considered a science. And if it has some basic principles, is there anything that, you know, maybe we can read about, or can we get some sort of, you know, theoretical understanding, or it's more about feeling and concept, and how is it for you?
It is a perception change. It is like a different lens that we put on our eyes, on our mind. And from that, everything changes. I cannot say that this is a science or religion, esoterics or psychological method. It is not. But this is the lens that makes us see science, religion, esoterics, and psychological methods differently. Not separate from each other, but you can see how everything comes together perfectly. But let me elaborate on that. For example, I started talking a bit earlier about religions, right, and how they are helpful and give us certain, rules to behave in society, give us consolation in difficult times. But at the same time, religions are partial truth that support separateness. And meta-spirituality encompasses all religions, but also vastly transcends them and presents the complete picture we've never seen before. So it is not a religion, but this is something that unites all religions into one big understanding. Then also somebody might say, well, then maybe it's esoterics, right? But no, it is not esoterics, because in esoterics, rituals, visualizations, channeling, and all other things, they are actually, again, something that separates who we truly are, separates us from the source, from what we truly are. It's like an intermediary. And I believe, and this is why I also think meta-spirituality came to me, we are ready to directly interact with the creator inside us without any intermediaries, such as rituals and prayers and affirmations and everything else. We are ready to become the creator instead of reaching out to something that is higher forces, something that is separate from us, somebody who can help us, guide us. You see what I mean? So meta-spirituality is not esoterics either. It is actually very different from what mainstream esoterics and spirituality teach us about. Meta-spirituality doesn't believe in karma or punishing gods or separate higher forces that affect our life. It makes us understand that we are the creator. We are the extensions of the source. We are God in form, in physical form. And our eyes, our hands, our ears are gods. Or if you don't like the word God, we can say the source's eyes and ears and hands. And we are here to know who we are, to know that we are God, and to express that knowing on a daily basis, to be God, to live as God, and to not be limited, to not live in this separateness, in this smaller, basically what we're trying to change here is we're shifting the perception of who we are from being a drop in the ocean into perceiving ourselves as the ocean, and everything is connected in it. Also, meta-spirituality is not a psychological method, because psychological method works, or different spirituality methods and psychological methods and all styles of psychology, they work with the mind and they try to reprogram it. Meta-spirituality doesn't do anything with the mind itself. It operates above and beyond the mind, hence the word meta. It creates this new identity, as I said, new perception, completely new being inside of you, new eyes through which you will perceive yourself, others, and the world anew. It's like giving birth to a new identity within you. So it's not a psychological method or practice or anything you can kind of quote-unquote do. Again, it's something that is way bigger and beyond that. It's also not a practice in positive thinking, because meta-spirituality will not ask you to be positive, good, or kind necessarily. Meta-spirituality will only ask you to let go of illusion of who you are not, in order to have the truth of who you are, to see the truth rather than the illusion that surrounds us. So I would say that this is a modern spiritual tradition that eliminates separateness on all levels. It makes you complete, it grants the truth so that you can express yourself as the creator in life.
How do I get to, because you said it's not about learning meta-spirituality, correct? How do I access meta-spirituality? How does, if I want to bring more of these in my life, how do I do it?
Yeah, we start with unlearning. We start with dismantling all the mainstream or so-called old spirituality or religious concepts that have been ingrained into us. We start with cleaning the partial truths, so I call them partial truths. We eliminate them from our mind. And once we've eliminated these biggest misconceptions of mainstream spirituality, we start seeing clearly, or more clearly, and in the end, the truth gets revealed. So it's more about unlearning, undoing, and cleaning, emptying ourselves from the fake concepts and fake ideas, ideas that give us consolation, ideas that give us some comfort, safety for our ego mind. So we eliminate that. And slowly we become more and more enlightened with each false concept that is dropped and eliminated from our mind. In terms of a format, these are live lectures. And I also think that a big part here is exchange, energy exchange. I know not many people believe in energy and so on, but everything is energy. Everything has certain vibration. This is physics. And some wavelengths resonate with each other, and some of them are so different on a wavelength scale that they just don't come together. They don't resonate. They're not capable of coming together. So when we get attracted to something that is resonating with us. For example, some people who are listening our conversation today, they might feel some resonance with my words. If they do, they will naturally feel this pull to know more. And some of the people will be completely repelled. They will be like, oh no, I don't understand any of that. This is not for me. It's not something I'm interested in. And so, for those people who feel that there is some truth in the words they're hearing from our conversation, if something sparks their interest, it means they're resonating energetically and possibly are ready to leave behind those old methods, old spirituality, old concepts, and they're ready to step further onto the next level. So when those type of people come to me, come to the lectures, and we start working by eliminating those unhelpful ideas that are more damaging to our spiritual progress and evolution than they're helpful at this point, not only they clean their mind and start seeing clearly and more clearer, but they also get in resonance with me, with my vibration, and then it's a direct kind of transfer of understanding. It's, you know, they say that if you've if you turned on your light, if you know the truth, if you vibrate on a different level, you can encourage, you can inspire people to get to the same place. We all exchange energy and information with each other, and this is pretty logical and it's pretty visible. For example, when we come in contact, when we start talking to somebody who is very down, very upset, very pessimistic, which also again happens to all of us at certain points, but we inevitably feel bad too. This is how it works. We connect, we resonate like waves. We affect each other. This is why also it's so important who we surround ourselves with, who our friends are, who what is our work environment. It all affects our state of mind. And with the same principle of resonance, when you come in contact with somebody who realized the truth, this instigates your own remembering of the truth, which we all have inside of us. So this is a twofold process.
You mentioned to us at the beginning, close to the beginning of our conversation, this experience that you had, and when you started to, you know, develop that idea of meta spirituality. How will we know that we've reached meta spirituality? What are some indicators that can tell someone that's maybe not necessarily very experienced in being self-aware, for example? How do we know that we reached that level? How do we know that what we're feeling and thinking is meta spirituality?
You know, I would say, do not think in terms is this meta spirituality or not, but with any new concept, perspective that you're trying to take, right? The only true indicator of whether it's good for you or successful for you is to see in real life, in your material life, whether your life gets better. This is how I would say to all the spiritual seekers who are listening to us. Hey, if your spiritual practice makes your life better, if you have less conflict with your husband or wife, if you if you're succeeding in your calling, in your career, if you feel good inside, then please, by all means, follow whatever you're following, as long as it's helping you. Meta spirituality is for those who realize that none of the mainstream spiritualities, methods and teachings are actually changing their life for better. They might give some illusion of it, they might partially affect it positively, but nothing is really changing. And the only indicator that some, let's call it teaching, a teaching or a tradition is helping you is to see real effect in real life. You need to look on the outside, which will be an indicator whether something inside of you is harmonious, is balanced, because what's inside is outside and vice versa. And it's very simply, and it's a very easy indicator for us, a barometer for us in life. If our life falls apart, if we have bad relationships, if we constantly arguing with people, if we feel unhappy, if we struggle with money, it means something inside of us is not balanced. It means we don't understand something clearly. It means something is internally not aligned with who we truly are. So don't, I would say, look on the outside. If your life is getting better, it means you're on the correct path. right now, right at this moment of your life. And this is why meta spirituality's main purpose is to replace mainstream spirituality's abstract knowledge, abstract ideas, and all those rituals and visualizations and all of that, and make it practical, make it actually matter in your daily life. Because I have seen, you know, I've seen more than 100,000 people that students that I had over the last 15 years of my work that I worked with, like in group settings or directly. And there's a lot of people who are very deep into spirituality. They're meditating daily, they're doing yoga daily, they're chanting, they're praying, they're journaling in their gratitude journal. They're doing all of that. But once they're off the mat or off the meditation position, they struggle and they don't have money. They don't have, abundant relationships. They don't feel complete and socially happy, abundant in all means, in all shapes and forms. And then that's the indicator that spirituality that you're following, the path that you're following, is either not correct or you are not doing it correctly. The only indicator for any teaching, spiritual teaching, is to see how your life changes. And with the correct teaching, your life changes immediately. And this is not magic. And this is something many will not believe in. But this is what 1,500 students of meta spirituality alone in the last just couple of years have shown us. And we see that our life changes immediately in every aspect of it. It just becomes different.
Nina, thank you so much for that. I think personally, I want to understand how to identify meta spirituality in my life. And I think you managed to summarize this in very, simple words. And I think that, at the end of the day, the changes, if the changes are tangible, if you see that something that you've tried for many, many years is not working, but suddenly things are starting to fall on the right path, then maybe it's time to consider that this is meta spirituality. And, you are doing, I don't know, for me, it's more like an alignment, alignment with your mind, with your emotions. And I also think it's also a matter of finding your own meaning to meta spirituality rather than anything else. And I hopefully I'm not terribly wrong, but this is, for example, something that I'm taking from our conversation today. So let's listen now to some valuable information from the station sponsors. And then, Nina, I would like you to give us a bit of an insight on your website, your online links that, we can all access and get a bit more of Nina and meta spirituality. So we'll be back in just a few moments.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip, because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And we're back. We're discussing meta-spirituality today. Unfortunately, Nina, we didn't even go to like the half of the things that we were planning to discuss, but that's all right. This means that this is a complex topic, and I always love a challenge. So, Nina, where can we find you online? You mentioned your lectures. You mentioned some work that you've done. Is there anywhere where you can where we can find more information about you and your work?
Yeah, so I think maybe the quickest would be to go to my Instagram page. It's nina.verkoyen, and make sure you don't misspell my difficult surname. Yeah. So it's nina.verkoyen, and there on my Instagram page you will find the link to my website, you will find some links to my YouTube channel, to my posts, and this is how we can stay connected if you feel resonance with everything that you heard today.
Nina, thank you very much for your time. I wish you best of luck. I hope everything will be in alignment with what you're planning to achieve. And it has been a real pleasure talking about meta-spirituality. And hopefully, we can agree to do a second part of this show, because I still have lots of questions I would like to ask. I would like to understand more about, you know, how to apply meta-spirituality in different areas of our lives. So, Let's have a chat about that, and who knows, maybe you'll be joining us sooner than we expect.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Andra. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about it, to reach more people who might need it, and I will be very happy to meet again. It was a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me here.
Thank you, and all the best. Yellow was Coldplay's first major hit, released in the summer of 2000. It was how the Coldplay name spread around the world as one of the new bands to watch. Let's listen now to Coldplay with Yellow. Until next time, may we hear only good things.
Look at the stars, look how they shine for you. Everything you do, yeah, they were all.
shine for you, and all the things that you do.